Hallelujah. There is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Hallelujah. It is at that name of Jesus that I heard the testimonies go forth. Victory, healing, deliverance, victory over the adversary. What more do we need to talk about? Hallelujah. God is such a good God. Why don't you just remain standing and we'll go into our reading of scripture. We're going to look up James chapter 5, and our scripture reading is going to be, I think it's verse 15 and 16, if you can get it on the board, if everyone has it. It's so good to be here today. Hallelujah. We all have it? That was weak, so we'll give it another 10 seconds. How about now? Do we all have it? Yeah. All right, I was stronger. All right. Verse 15 and 16 reads, "And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another, that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. And the church said, all right, we're getting better. Hallelujah. You may be seated. I want to give honor to God today, for he is the head of my life. As so many of you, he's the head of your life as well. I just want to thank and praise him for my pastor, my assistant pastor, and my wife, my family. I want to give honor to God for you, because I love and really appreciate every one of you. I don't take this opportunity for granted. I am excited. I got to tell you the truth. I don't normally get really excited about being here, but I got excited today about being here. Especially, I got to tell you, Brother Danny, your testimony was confirmation for what I'm about to bring out. And I was looking for something to say, I'm in the right direction. I needed to hear something, because I don't want to be in this thing all by myself, doing my own thing. So I needed a confirmation, or I was going to have to pull an Elder Camp and switch the message. I was just going to pull it. And I'm not good as Elder Camp, so I don't switch very well. So and we would have been flying by the seat of our pants on that one. So I said, oh, I need to hear something. And when you spoke, I heard it. Today, I want to speak to you about prayer.
Yes.
But I just don't want to talk to you about prayer. But my message is prayer on steroids.
Yeah.
If many of you, here do not know anything about steroids, well, steroids is considered a cheat method in the world in sports. It's considered something that allows you to get quick results, maximum results with very little effort.
Yes.
Case in point, I had a friend that I worked with, not a friend, a co-worker, some years back, and he was, you know, an average build guy, and he said he was going to start working out. Well, it was about a month and a half later that I saw some things, and I said, I forgot his name now, but I said, brother, and you know, I'm a clown here, I'm a clown everywhere. So I said, brother, are you, that's a shot, you know? I said, are you doing the cream, or what are you doing? That's a shot, you know? I said, are you doing the cream, or what are you doing? So he said, I'm not doing any of that stuff, I'm working hard. But yet, I did went to the computer, the community computer at the job, after he left, and I saw what he was looking up, and I said, okay, all of these are steroid websites, and he doesn't do steroids, so what is he talking about? But I know what working out does. I actually did it before, believe it or not, so I know how to get results. Unfortunately, you can't tell by looking at me, but I know what people do to get results. I know how long, and a month and a half from where this guy started, it was not supposed to go down like that without cheating. But however, I'm talking about prayer on steroids. There is no side effect to this steroid. You can use and you can call it a cheat method if you want, but I'm talking about getting to the very throne of God and getting max results from your prayer and my prayer. And I thought about all of the wonderful men of God in the Bible. And I thought about all of the beautiful prayers that went up before God. And I thought about, man, there were some men of God that really got in touch with God. And they really prayed. And they really, I mean, when I think of Elijah praying to shut up the heaven for 3.5 years, that it rained not on the earth. And when I think about, then he turned around and prayed that it rained, and then it rained the same amount, you know. I mean, that's prayer. That's God answering prayer. And I thought about the prayer that Isaiah prayed when he was sick and when he turned his face to the wall. I thought about these prayers and the result that he got, 15 years added to his life. I mean, God will hear our prayer. But this kind of prayer I'm talking about is not an ordinary prayer, not that those were ordinary. I don't want to minimize the importance of their prayers. But I wanted to find somebody's prayer. Somebody had to pray something where I'm looking for that they really got in touch with God. And you see, Elijah was in that situation. And Elijah was directly connected to what was going on. And he was affected by everything that happened. Isaiah, you couldn't get more affected. It was his own body he was praying about. And sometimes we get hung up in prayer. I know the Bible says men ought to always pray and not to faint. But I must admit that sometimes we get a little narrow-minded in prayer. I must admit that sometimes our prayer is just, me, Lord, me, Lord, me, Lord. I understand that. I get that. I've been there. I know. I really understand. And there's nothing wrong. You need to pray for you. However, I'm talking about a prayer that's going to get max results. I got a lot of scripture, and I need you to be praying for me. And as I pray for you, I need you to be locked in today. I need you here. The Bible says, without faith, it is impossible to please him. But he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Them that diligently seek him. So I'm looking for somebody who diligently was seeking God. There were many that did this, but who did it and really didn't have to do it? I want you to turn with me to Daniel, the 9th chapter. Now, when I say Daniel, this is a prayer. This 9th chapter is about a lot of things. So as we go on, you remind me that the subject is what?
Prayer,
right? So there's a lot of things in this chapter. But you remind me and keep me on track that this is about prayer. And we're going to read a little bit. But I want to give you a little background on Daniel. Because the book of Daniel is all mixed up. It's not in exact order. So many people believe that this is, he was young. But if you read the first verse, it talks about this was Daniel in the first year of Darius. So this means he's went through 2 other kings already. So he's not a little boy anymore. He's got a reputation in the kingdom already for giving, being wise with dreams and visions. He's established himself already. He's set up pretty nice. He's not like the other Israelites that are out working and slaving. He's got a nice cushy position. Anybody know anybody like that got a nice cushy? I mean, it's nice to have a cushy position, you know. So therefore, in my mind, I'm thinking this cushy position that he had, he didn't really have to lament before the Lord about anybody else. He could have been just happy where he was. Many times we do get happy where we are, and we forget to look at the needs around us, the people that are around us. If you recall in James, it's talking about pray one for another. And then it said the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. But he's talking about praying one for another. That is the prayer that availeth much. Not, Lord, bless me. Your prayers do work, and they do take the throne of God. But when you pray for somebody else, the power in that prayer, hallelujah. You have nothing to gain by praying for that brother. Hallelujah. Brother Danny had nothing to gain by praying for his friend. Nothing to gain but to see his friend prosper. Hallelujah. The power that's in that prayer supersedes any prayer that he can pray for himself. I don't care how great the bishop or preacher is, the one thing he cannot do is pray and anoint himself. Somebody's got to anoint and pray for that man. I don't care how great he is. Paul had to have somebody pray for him and lead him. He could not do it all by himself. Let's read here. Daniel chapter 9. And you know my eyes are bad, so it's going to take me a minute to focus, but I'm going to take it nice and easy today, all right? Hallelujah. Chapter 9, verse 3. Now this is Daniel reading, this is Daniel saying this. And I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplication and fasting and sackcloth and ashes. And I prayed unto the Lord my God and made my confession and said, O Lord, the great and dreadful God, keeping the covenant and mercy to keep them that love him and to them that keep his commandments. Now I'm going to skim through this. Verse 5. We have sinned. Now, the Bible never talks about the sin of Daniel. I mean, the Bible is pretty clear when someone falls. It doesn't try to sugarcoat it. It just lets you know. Now, I'm not suggesting that Daniel never had any sin. That wouldn't be scriptural. He came up short like you and me and everybody else. He had issues. But he said here, we have sinned. Yet he knew no sin at the time. We have sinned. He humbled himself, put himself right in the thick of things. I'm just going to skim. Verse 8. O Lord, to us belong confusion of faith. We don't even recognize ourselves anymore. We have no identity. Amen. Verse 9. In the middle of verse 9. We have rebelled. Verse 10. Neither have we obeyed thy voice. Verse 11. Yea, all Israel has transgressed. Go down to verse 13. Yet made we not our prayer before the Lord. Now I'm skimming, but just know that in between, he's just laying it out. He's just pouring it out. We just did everything wrong. We're not right. I'm sorry. I did this. But there's no record of him doing anything. But he humbled himself and put himself before God as a mediator between him and an entire nation. An entire nation. And then in verse 14, for we obeyed not his voice. Verse 15, I hope you're keeping up. I'm just trying to skim here. We have done wickedly. And he's saying all of these things, such things over and over. You see, many times we get here and our prayer is long. But in our private prayer, it's short. It should be opposite. Here shouldn't be all that long. We can be up here 2 hours of praying. It serves no purpose. But when we're on our knees praying to ourselves, this is him praying. There's nobody around. This is him praying. It's just him getting in touch with God. And there's many words when it's just you. There's many words. And you lay it out before God. I'm not right. I didn't do this right. This is a real feeling that he had. This is not something that he had to show off in front of people. This is a private prayer. But while he was praying, some things happened. Verse 19. It reads, O Lord, hear, O Lord. Forgive, O Lord. Hearken and do. Defer not from thine own sake. O my God, for thy city, thy people are called by thy name. And then something big happens here. Whilst I was speaking, I always read, whilst I was yet speaking, but it doesn't say that, so I don't want to add. It says, while I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin. What sin, Daniel? You didn't talk about anything, but I'm confessing my sin. I'm just as guilty as all of them. and the sin of my people, Israel, and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God, for the holy mountain of God, of my God. While, yea, he reiterates, yea, while I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me. Hallelujah. How many have been touched in prayer before? It's a good feeling to be touched while you're praying. Touch me about the time of the evening oblation. And he informed me and talked with me and said, oh, Dan. Thank you, Lord, that he, you know, when he sees you, he's going to call you by your first name. He's not going to say elder. He's not going to say bishop. He's just going to call you what they've been calling you. They've been calling you brother no good and brother no good. I got something to tell you. Here it is. I am now come forth to give thee skill and understanding. Why did I come forth to give you skill and understanding? But look at this. At the beginning of thy supplication, the commandment came forth, and I am come to show thee. Hold on, let's wait a minute. You mean all of these 150 words I've been saying? You mean you heard me at the first part of it? Did I really have to go through all of this? But I went through all of this, not for him, but for me. I did it for me. I stayed on my knees. And this is what you hear the old times call a breakthrough. Sometimes the breakthrough happened at the beginning, but you don't find out about it until after it's over. Unfortunately, the way the time, speed of light work, you see things one way, you see a star twinkle. What happened is that started a long time ago. By the time you look up and say, you walk in with your honey and say, oh, look at that, the star twinkled just for me. That started a long time ago. The speed of light, it finally happened. So you think, oh, that just happened for me. I'm out here. But it didn't happen. It happened out of the beginning of time. So he says, for thou art greatly beloved. Now listen, God loves us all. Make no mistake about it. He loves us all like children. And you got to keep this in mind. He loves us like children. But what happens is some of your children do different things. And they do different things at different times. And you say, I'm going to invest in this child. Even though I love them all the same, I'm not going to give this child $1,000 because he's got some habits that he's working with. But this kid seemed to be taking care. Now, I love them both the same, but I can't give him $1,000. But God loved all of his children. But it was Daniel that laid before God, although he knew no sin, no problem at the time. No, I mean, I'm telling you, he fell short, obviously. But what I'm saying is he didn't get involved in the gross sin that the whole nation of Israel was locked into. But God says, you are greatly beloved. And therefore, understand, let me turn this. The matter and consider the vision. Now he goes into something heavy here. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression, to make an end of sin, to make reconciliation for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up the vision and the prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto Messiah the Prince shall be 70 weeks and 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again, and the walls, even in troublous time. Let me stop right there for a moment. Listen, I don't care what needs we have. There is no greater blessing God can give us than to give us knowledge of himself. There is nothing more we need when we see him in face to face. I know that there are things that we have immediate need of, but that's God will bless that. That's a residual of what he really wants to do. What he wants to do is allow you to see him for what he is. There's no bigger blessing. So he starts telling Daniel, I don't know if you realize, but Daniel was asking, and inquiring. And this is the other thing about Daniel. In the beginning, what got him here is he found the writings of Jeremiah, and he wanted to understand the scripture, and he wanted to know, what about these 70 years we got to deal in Babylon? What about this? I don't understand. So Daniel is inquiring this whole time, and he's praying. Why did it happen, and how long, and this, that, and the other? But God, I'm talking about a prayer on steroids, max results. God says, Daniel, you want to know about 70 years? Daniel, you're greatly beloved. I'm going to tell you about 7 times 70. Do you understand that? I'm going to give you 7 times what you're asking for. Hold on. I thought I was in a praying church. Do you understand 7 times more than what you're asking for? You want to know about me, Daniel? You want to know about your nation and your city? I'm going to tell you 7 times that amount. I'm going to tell you not about 70 years, but 490 years. Do you understand that? Do you get that? Let that sink in. 7 times more than what I'm asking. One thing about God, he always blesses way more than you ask. I don't know if you're familiar, but when Elijah asked Elisha, whatever you ask, when I depart out of here, whatever you ask, you're going to get it. So whatever you want out here, many of us, what we want, Cadillac. I want a Cadillac. Give me a Cadillac. That's what I want. I want a car. Give me a big house. That's what I want. But Elijah said, give me a double portion of thy spirit. Give me a double portion. The same spirit that worked in you, I want that. If we can just get a hold of God and just stop being so self-centered on what our needs are and really say, Lord, I want to be blessed. I want you in my life. What does God say? All I need is you, Lord. All I need, Lord, I want is you, Lord. It's that Cadillac. I don't need a Cadillac. I can catch a bus. It's all right. That's all right. I don't need the big old house. All I need is you, Lord. If we can just see what's going on here. He didn't give this. And this is the one prophecy. Think about this. Not Moses, not David, not Jeremiah, not Isaiah. Nobody had the precise timing of his coming and his death. Nobody had it. But Daniel had it. What can we learn from Daniel? What can we see about Daniel? He laid out. He didn't have to lay out. And he wanted more of God. He didn't care about the situation. He wanted God in his life. He wanted God for the nation of Israel. Sometimes we get so wrapped up with our surroundings, we forget to pray about our brother and our sister. But that's where the blessing comes in, when we start praying for and being sincere about our prayer tour. You know, it's one thing, you know, churches can sometimes, they have needs. And it'd be nice, I'm sure it'd be nice, you know, when people knock on the door to the church and say, yeah, Pastor Camp, I want to come down there. Oh, yeah, tell me a little bit about yourself. Well, I preach like the best preacher you ever heard, and I sing like an angel, and I'm going to come in. I never sow discord. I don't talk about nobody. I don't even look at nobody the wrong way. I just go in church. I say amen. I do this and that, and I go on home. That's all I do. I never cause no trouble. But then the reality is, brother, can't get right, knocks on the door. Yeah, Pastor, I want to come in. I ain't got no job. I need help. I always cause trouble. I talk about everybody. I just have all kinds of issues. And as soon as you do something wrong, I'm going to say it's your fault. And I'm out of here. And the pastor says, well, come on in. You fit right in. Come on in. It's all right. God is still going to bless you. I'm joking, folks. Don't look at me so serious. I'm joking. You're taking me too serious. It's just a joke. But it's kind of, if you think about it, it's like when we see one person come in, it's like James said, you sit him up here and do this, that, and the other. When we see another person, we treat him differently if he's got something to offer, you know. It seems like if someone doesn't have anything to offer, we treat them this way, and that's wrong. We have to lament before God for their needs, personally for them. What is best for them? How can God bless them in their situation? Never mind about what they can do for the church. Let me pray for them. Let me pray for their welfare. And this is the mind that Daniel had. I'm praying for the people, and I'm going to put myself in their shoes. And he received a blessing for it. And then verse 26 says, I know you don't understand this, because I had trouble keeping up. I'm not dealing with the time here. I'm just dealing with the blessings from prayer. But the first 7 years dealt with the building and rebuilding of Jerusalem. The next 62 weeks, I should say, makes 69 weeks. So when he says after 62, that's after 62, but 7 is gone already. So after 69 weeks, this is where a lot of people get all mixed up. And incidentally, if you got a different Bible other than the King James Bible, you're going to be confused here. Because nobody, all the Bible got it right. But when you let the Bible say what it's going to say, no commentary, just read it for what it is. And this is the one scripture you can't read no other. Trust me, I've read every version, and they all confuse me. But this one version, there's no confusion, because there's no confusion in the Word of God.
Right.
It's only we need to seek, like Daniel did, to get an understanding. But they add a whole bunch, so I'm just telling you, if you're reading another version, you're going to be really lost. So anyway, it says, and Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. Again, an unselfish act. Not for himself. And the people of the prince shall come and shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood, and unto the end of the war desolations are determined. And here's a big scripture that they all just get wrong. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, and in the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. For the overspreading and abominations, he shall make it desolate, even unto the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolation. Now, I know that's saying a whole lot, and that gets real deep, but I'm not going to deal with every single thing there, but I'm just going to tell you, Daniel asked about 70 years, and he got 490 years, and I'm going to just read just briefly. Here's what happened. All the answers that Daniel got. Just think about it. This is all that he got. Now, I'll go into a little bit. Number one, what happened? Restore Jerusalem in troublous times and rebuild Jerusalem. That's two things right there. The most holy was to be anointed. Now, this is talking about Jesus. Most holy is to be anointed. Also is to be cut off. Number five, finish the transgression. If you don't understand that, it's in, you can read Isaiah 53:5, where he said, he was bruised for our transgression and our iniquity, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. I know I got it wrong, but that's what it's talking about. And he'll make an end of sin. Make an end of sin. You can read that. Hebrews 9:22 if you want to. Where it talks about where there is no sprinkling of blood, there can be no remission of sin. Number seven, make reconciliation for iniquity. You can read Hebrews 2:17 if you want to read that. Number eight, everlasting righteousness. This is what he's going to bring in. Neither by the blood of goats or calves, but by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal or everlasting redemption for us. Number nine, seal of the vision and prophecy. Number 10, confirm the covenant. If you don't know what confirm the covenant means, once a month we confirm and recommittal with the Last Supper. That's all that is. This is the New Testament of my blood. This is what he talks about. You can find that in Matthew 28. In number 11, cause the oblation and sacrifice to cease. Number 12, Jerusalem was to be destroyed. All those things happened. But all those things happen as a result of what Daniel prayed to God for. He was wanting an answer on something. It just tells you that God is concerned about the slightest thing that you're going through. He hears your every prayer. It just so happened that Daniel's concern was here. You have other concerns. God is listening to your prayer. For he said, my ear is not heavy that it cannot hear, and my arm is not short that it cannot save. He hears each and every one of us. He loves each and every one of us. He is not far away from any of us. All we have to do is really pour out of ourselves and give it over to God. Give it over to God. We seek God with all our might, all our heart, all our mind, and God will hear our prayer. He is able to save to the utmost. He is able to deliver. I mean, come on. We had could have had a fatality here, an accident just yesterday, and stand up praising today. God is just a good God. John 16:24 says, "Here too have ye asked nothing in my name. But if you ask, you shall receive." And it says, "That your joy be filled." God is concerned about us being happy. Can you imagine that? God is concerned about us being happy. I don't know a God that, what God do you know that's concerned about? People can hardly care less if you're happy or not. You go by and you say, "Hey, how you doing?" Not the greatest day. Well, you keep trying, man. I gotta go. You know, that's the kind of world we live in. But our God is not too high that he can't understand what we're going through. But if you want to really get in touch with God, start praying for outside stuff that's outside your situation. Pray for the pastor. If you got nothing else to pray, pray for the pastor. You know why? The Bible says, "If you give my servant a cup of cold water, you shall not lose your reward." Why does it say that? You don't understand the custom. It wasn't just Israel, but it was the custom that if you really like someone and they passed through your town, you were to make sure that they stayed with you for a long time. They didn't just stay a day. They stayed a long time, and you took care of everything. You fed them. You took care of their food and everything. If you did not like that person, you gave them water and you sent them on their way. Think about that. So God is saying, if you give my servant the very least, you ain't got to love them. Just give them the very least. You will not lose your reward. Let's lift our pastor up in prayer. Let's lift one another up in prayer. When people come in, they ought to feel like we really care about them. Not about what they can do for us. What can you do for me? I remember growing up, we hear that song. What can you, what have you done for me lately? I think Janet Jackson. And everybody, you go by and say, "Hey, how you doing? What have you done for me lately?" They be singing to you. I'm like, I'm just saying hello. I didn't need to hear all of that. I'm just saying hello. I'm not even in your life. Why I got to do something for you? I'm just saying hello. I mean, that's the kind of era that I grew up in, a very materialistic era, you know? And it's something that when we see people, we have to keep in mind, there go I, but for the grace of God. I'll tell you real short, I'm a wannabe basketball player. And I remember growing up in New York City, there were so many good players at the time that I was trying to play. And I certainly wasn't nowhere near any of the good players, but I played hard, I tried. I played with some of the best I played with, I played against some of the best out there. I've seen them all. I've seen Lloyd Daniels, Moses Scurry. These people mean nothing to you, but these were big time names that went on, some of them to the NBA and everything. But I remember there was a guy that, just some water here. It's all right, little man. There was a guy that played in my neighborhood, and he went to Seton Hall, you know, and that's a big, at the time, that was a big time school. It was a Big East school, and you know, I'm just playing out there like everybody. There was never any tournaments in this park, but it was a nice park, so we played, and I remember he chose me to be on his team. This guy's name is Gerald Green, and I remember playing, and I was like nervous because I didn't want to. He was a guard, and I mean, he had high dribble basketball players. It was high till you got near it, then it got low and did everything. It's like, hey, where is he now? So I guess that high dribble would just pull you in, and you think, I can get that ball from him, I can get it. And then you go to get it, it's like, where did he go? He's gone. He was a good player. But then he picked me all the time. I would see him. I never spoke more than 2 or 3 words to him. I tell everybody, that's my friend, because he picked me all the time. But he wasn't a friend, because we didn't have but 2 or 3 words to say. Big man, cut. Big man, over there. Do that. You know, that's how he talked to me. You know, I was just big man. Go there, go there. I'm good. You know, as long as I do what he say, he likes me. Picks me every time. Picks me first, too. I like that. And I'm thinking, why did he pick me? I can't play. I can't shoot. All I can do is run. The one thing I could do, if somebody was used to scoring 20, when they played against me, they scored 10 that game. It was just automatic all the time. I would just shut you down. Sometimes it was a little rough, but I shut you down. A little physical, And, you know, sometimes it would be a fight at the end, I must admit. Yeah. But when I did some research on him, I started finding out from other guys, like, man, this guy played in the shadows of some of the greatest guards in New York. And he was considered nothing. And no one recruited him until the last tournament that he played for Riverside Church. And they finally recruited him. And so I'm thinking, the reason this guy picks me, because I represent, in many ways, him. You know, I represent the underdog, the nobody, you know, because we played against some of everybody. So the way I saw it, it's like, he got me because I played hard and he played defense too. I mean, he was so good, you know. Went to a national championship, lost, but he went. The starting point guard wanted me to play with him all the time. I wonder if we could see ourselves in people sometime. That brother no good that comes in and can't get right. You know, that's me, you know. I came in here, I knocked on the door too, and I said, can I come? And the pastor said, oh, tell me a little bit about yourself. You know, he knew me already. Tell me a little bit about yourself. Well, I don't like a lot of people, and I cause a lot of trouble. I talk about everybody, and I have issues, and I may not come in prayer, and, you know, I may be in service in and out, and, you know, I got some issues. And the pastor said, come on in. I know what you're going through. We're going to be praying for you, and God's grace is going to keep you, and you're going to get better and better, and the path of the just is going to shine brighter and brighter in your life, and we're going to work with you. We're going to have to be merciful to you. But you know why the pastor can do that? He's a bench warmer, too. He's a bench warmer, too, so he understands. Listen, if you give people an opportunity, they can shine if you invest in them. But you invest in them first by prayer. You don't need to give me any money. Pray for me as I pray for you. I need you to pray for me, but most importantly, you need me to pray for you. We need to pray one for another, because that's the prayer that God is listening to. And it's fervent in his ears. If we can be, can you imagine being fervent for somebody's situation that has nothing to do with you? You can't benefit from it at all. But that is the prayer that God is going to bless. He's going to bless. It's easy to pray for my wife. Now I'm supposed to do that. God is saying, that's easy. You love your wife, your family. But how about the guy? And here's the issue. There's people that just saved or unsaved. They can rub you the wrong way. I know I can rub you the wrong way all the time. I know I rub people the wrong way. But the thing is, you know, we can rub people the wrong way. Will that stop you from praying for me? Because I come off a little brash, because I come off a little hard, maybe my jokes are too corny. Does that mean you're not going to pray for me? You're not going to lift me up? God, help us. God, help us. You know, I don't know all of the answers, but I know that there's a blessing somewhere in laying out before God for someone else. This is why so many pastors are so blessed. They're so blessed because they automatically pray for their saints. There's a blessing in that. They get blessed. I mean, I don't know if that accident could have been 10 times worse. But God saw something and said, I got to keep her around. I need this situation going on. I need that. I need this. She's doing for my people. And let me tell you something. God is just like us. If we have, I got two kids. Yeah, they fight. I'm going to tell you, they fight. They, when they growing up, they fought real bad. You know, sometimes I say, man, you know, what are they arguing about? All I hear, stop, stop, stop. And I'm, stop, 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 stop. I was like an expert on the word stop. I got tired of hearing. So my wife, her word then comes in, knock it off. Always. It was stop, 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 knock it off. Stop, 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 knock it off. Stop, 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 knock it off. Like, so I go to sleep, and this is what I hear. Knock it off. Stop, okay, knock it off. So, and then I come in, and that's what I hear. Get out of here, or, you know, or whatever. But it was one night that they did all of this arguing, right? And then I go in, and they fell asleep laying on each other. And I'm saying, huh, they did all this fighting, and they're laying on each other. But I gotta admit, there was some warm feeling I got. when I saw them laying on each other, you know, I'm like, because I'm looking, I'm like, where's Alexis? And then I look in the room, I'm like, boy, his bed looked kind of lumpy there. And there she is laid up there with him. And I'm like, they did all that arguing. And then they slept together, fell asleep looking at TV. But there's a warm feeling that happened inside when I saw that. I got to admit, God is no different. He loves for his children to love one another in spite of what we go through with each other. We have some issues, but in spite of our issues, we got to love one another. God responds to that. He may not, just think about this, he may not hear your prayer for you as much as he'll hear my prayer for you. Think about that. His ear is open to the prayers of the righteous. But my prayer will do way more for you than your prayer. Because when I pray, I'm praying for your good. When you pray, you can get self-centered. When I pray for me, I can get self-centered. But when the pastor prays for me, he's praying, first of all, keep him saved. I don't care what happened. Keep him saved. Let him prosper as his soul prospers, though. Let him prosper only as his soul prospers. Don't give him stuff and then his soul doesn't prosper. God is a good God. Paul said in Timothy 2:1, I exhort thee, therefore, that first of all, supplication, prayer, intercessions, and giving thanks be made for all men. All men. You think Paul knew a thing or two about praying one for another? Again, he goes into Philippians 1:4, where he says, always in all prayer, with you in mind, praying for all of you, making requests with joy for you. I'm praying for you. Over and over again. Philemon 1:4, I thank my God, making mention of you always in my prayer. Can we all stand today? Hallelujah. I don't know what issues we have, but one thing we gotta do is pray one for another. One thing we gotta do is lift one another up in prayer. God is gonna respond. And here's the blessing that happens after that. Your prayer, your personal prayer, it'll become on cruise control. It'll become on cruise control. All of the elders and altar team can come forward. It will be on cruise control because 90% of the time you're looking out for this one and that one. The little 10% of the time that you say, if you read that Daniel 9, the ninth chapter, the only time he says I is when he said, I prayed. I set my face to the Lord. The rest of the time it was we. We have sinned. Our faces are confused. We have rebelled. If you can get yourself in the other person's shoes and understand where they might have come from and how they arrived at that decision and not be so judgmental on every little thing, God is going to bless that prayer. And when you pray for them, you're going to instantly have intimacy with that person. Because even though they rub you the wrong way, when you see it coming, you say, oh, brother. Even though they can rub you the wrong way, there's going to be a blessing in that relationship. It's not going to be as bad as it could have been. God knows every need that we have. But there's a special blessing. And I want my prayer to be on steroids, not for me, but for you. Remember, the Messiah cut off, but not for himself. And he made a covenant with many, but not for himself. Hallelujah. Turn this over at this time, Elder Matthew.